guests tonight are Steve Blake and Pamela Sheena Tiger of the band Punk Rock Treehouse. And they have a new release titled Mischief. Steve and Pamela, it is such a joy to talk to you this morning.
It's lovely to talk to you, and I did want to say one thing. It's been about 35 years since we've done an interview together.
And I was wondering, and you had to put it out on a CD.
Good morning.
So I hope things have been well for you in those 35 years.
A lot's gone on, Sue.
Anyways.
This is an amazing recording. And it's really good. It's like strong, powerful ahead rock.
Thank you.
And the drum work, Pamela, you're responsible for the drum work.
Yes.
And Steve, you're responsible for the guitar work. Both of it's really good. Now, both of you, I like how both of you sent me these lists that look like you were applying for a job.
We are.
No. Both of you have a long list of bands that you've been involved with, but how did the two of you get together? Pamela, why don't you start?
As a romantic couple and then as a musical duo, yeah, we met at a church social, as it were.
Oh, come on.
A pagan church, okay.
Okay, okay. Now I feel better.
You know, they were burning the Wicker Man, and we were having food.
But how long was it between the romance and the band?
Pretty rapid.
Yeah, pretty quick. It was because we were circling each other and obviously eyeing each other. And Pamela mentioned that she played drums in Syracuse Band in New York. And suddenly...
and it was that. And well, the little heart came out with the arrow went in.
Oh, yeah. And the thing is that we both knew we had shorthand. I did not have to spend the next 6 months explaining my past.
That's huge.
It really is.
Yeah, I know.
You know, when I say, I got to go down the studio, she doesn't go, why?
Yeah. Sometimes I do.
And now it all comes out.
Right.
So how long did you know that the band, how soon was it until you knew that the band was going to gel and work?
We really didn't. So
2 months, 4 months.
I want to hear from both of you separately. So Pamela, why don't you answer first?
So the first thing, wasn't the first thing we did together?
It was Victor Infante.
Was Victor Infante's song challenge, and we did that in January of 2017, and we had gotten together. We met in September of 2016, and then we met again in October of 2016, and we became an item by November, and in January we recorded that first challenge.
Talk about that challenge, because it sounds...
That was a Madonna song.
Oh, my God.
Well, I mean, I don't know if you know how his challenges work.
He tells you have to record a song, but he doesn't tell you what it is or who the artist is. You have to take the challenge, and then he flings. And they've done Elton John, Madonna, soundtrack.
So what was the Madonna song?
Yeah,
it was Hanky Panky.
Whoa!
One of the more fun ones. Yeah.
So what was your decision? What was your take on that?
We just did it like a punk rock song.
Cool.
And we had Jessica Lavina. Did the vocal on that. And we just had such a blast that we just said, let's just keep making records. Let's do stuff.
So did you sort of do a Dickies treatment of it? You just sped it up really fast?
No, more just straight out Ramones-y kind of.
Cool,
chunka, 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 you know.
I wish you had put that on this album.
You know, we had to pay for all the songs that we purchased, and we
We
basically said we have this much money to pay for songs. So
that's right. You would have to pay Madonna.
Yes, we. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind. I still like her, but we wanted to make sure.
Although, I think recently she's gone around the bend.
Yeah. Hasn't everybody? So we wanted to make sure Ardeen Taylor's family got some money, and Frank Zappa's family got some money. And I will tell you this, just off the bat, Dweezil and his then wife were absolutely fantastic.
They
were
really?
Yeah, I had problems getting the clearance because I kept putting in the thing with the Harry Fox agency, the title, and it never came up. And they said, put it in as three words, not two. And I went, okay, and boom, up it came.
Wow.
So they were just super. Dweezil's just like the sweetest guy in the world.
Oh, that's really nice to know.
Yeah. Well, Frank was, too.
Well, I know that. But, and wasn't Moon Unit supposed to write an autobiography that was supposed to come?
I keep hoping she does.
She knows. She supposedly was in the works, and it was supposed to come out, I think, a couple of months ago, and I've never heard hide nor hair of it.
Yeah, well, I read her other book, and it's okay. I'd like to read her autobiography.
I would love it. I would love it. But let me talk to you again about the band, and then I want to talk to you separately.
Sure.
Now, both of you are older, and now that's coming from a guy who's much older than you.
That's for sure.
Oh, shut up, man.
We wake up.
You know, this thing could end and go really badly.
Well, we wake up every morning and do inventory of body parts and aches.
Okay. So yeah. I've passed that stage, and I'm into, like, I'm just glad my eyes are open. Now, both of you are older, but... And I'm going to ask you this question both separately, but what has all your experience, and both of you have been in a number of bands, brought to you so the way that you think about music, bands, and the music business today? Steve, why don't you start?
I don't expect much. I'm a lot kinder and forgiving, and I've tried to put everything in its proper context, and everything has a place. And so I try to be patient, both as, you know, when I do studio stuff with other people or with this, just be patient, be kind. And in my early days, I'll just make this brief, I was super impatient. I leaned on people. I was a douche. And when, well, you know.
You were never a douche to me, man.
Well, you didn't work for the band. And but somebody once said, if you don't look back at your youth and realize what a douche you were, you're still that same douche.
You're right.
And I was very unforgiving, and I was very unkind in judgments. And it was because when you're young and a musician, you're insecure.
Okay, and Sheena, I'm going to hear from Sheena.
Sure.
Sheena, so what you, and you've been around too. You've been in bands in a number of places.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so what do you, I mean, how do you think about the music business, and how do you think about being in a band now?
I'm a little slower. No. So I, you know, back then I, you know, it was punk rock, and Syracuse was a really, it was an awesome scene, and it was insular, and we didn't, you know, because there was no internet, there was no reaching out beyond your borders very much unless you played other places, and because of the internet, that scene is still really like 150 people strong on the internet, and there have been reunions, and it's been awesome, but since, so I took a long hiatus because I got sober, and then I had a child, and then,
that'll,
you know,
do it for you. I can tell you that. That'll do it for you.
Yeah, and then I didn't play for a long time, and then when Steve and I met, right before that, there was a huge, huge reunion of the Syracuse bands, and I did that, and then I bought an electronic drum kit when we got together, and I posted a picture of it on Facebook and said, Sheena's back, yo. So... things are a little different, but you know what? I still got a lot of that punk rock.
Well, you know, I'm impressed by your drum work on this CD.
Thank you.
But did it take a while for it to all come back?
A little, yeah. And I started taking lessons again too, and I've noticed improvement as a drummer since 2 years ago when I started taking lessons again.
Now, Steve.
Yeah.
Something about you that I never, well, I knew you were born in England.
Yes.
But I never knew you lived in Malta.
Yes, I did, for the first 2.5 years of my life.
And at a certain point in high school, you drew Thimble Theater?
Yes, I did.
What are those? What two things connect? Well, what connects those two things? Seriously, well, no, because I've got an answer. There's a definite answer.
Well, the Popeye movie was filmed in Malta.
That's right.
And so was Catch-22.
That's
and
right.
And Malta is the site of the world's oldest goddess temples.
Wow.
That they've dated. And I have no memory of Malta. My father worked on an oil crew in Libya. But when my mother and I went back when I was 5 years old, I have memories of that. And that's why I love going to P-Town, because it's as close as I can get to that kind of vibe. And,
exactly,
and cobblestone streets. And if you've seen the film Catch-22 real fast, that look, that's what Malta looked like, is that film.
It's
right
exactly.
When we were there. Old 1940s buses. They still had them, you know. So,
Sheena, were you always a drummer?
I'm sorry?
Were you always a drummer, or did you start out as a guitarist and gravitate towards drumming?
No. Always drums.
Like, when was the earliest you started? I mean, were you annoying parents?
No, it's an odd story. So
tell them the story.
I was 60. I'm 62 now. But so when I was in high school, they had the index cards up at the grocery store to advertise things. And Somebody was selling a drum set for $200, which in hindsight was an outrageous amount of money for that piece of garbage that I ended up buying. And I bought it, and I started taking lessons, and the guy wanted me to do, you know, here's how you hold your sticks, how you, and I was like, uh-uh. So I left them alone for a little while. Went to college. I was hanging out in a room with some friends of mine, and punk rock was happening, and my friends were going, well, we're trying to form a band, but we need a drummer. And I said, well, I have a drum kit, but I don't know how to play them. And they said, well, bring them up, and you can be our drummer. And I said, okay. And then, you know, that was that. I mean, you know, I was on stage like 4 months later, I think.
Well, that was really the DIY period of rock.
Yeah.
Anybody, if you had an instrument, even if you didn't have an instrument, you got up and you did it.
And, yep.
And that was
rock.
And that was punk rock. A lot of people think punk rock is about a lot of other things. No, it's about basically not sitting there. It's getting up and doing stuff.
And not having enough synthesizers to be in Yes.
Well, and it was up close and personal. I mean,
it was.
Because it was like the antithesis to stadium stuff. You could be up close and personal, you know, right in front of the band you were going to see.
You know, that's it. Pamela, it's really interesting because I just thought of that when you mentioned it. You really have a relationship with the band when you're in the audience.
Yep.
When you're in that kind of, and the band likewise has an intimate relationship with you.
Yeah.
Yep.
They're your mates.
Yeah, they are. And so you're sharing an experience. Steve, like the first time we you have to be patient with, we get a lot of information we have to cover in a
sure.
short period of time. The first band I knew that you were in, and that you came down the station to talk about was Woodrose.
Yep.
And that was in existence 77 to 87. That's a long time. That's 10 years.
Yes.
And I still have my Automatic There EP.
What's that?
I still have my Automatic There EP.
Yes, you do. Curiously enough, I heard somebody on another radio station out on the Cape play it the other day.
Did you know them beforehand?
Nope.
Wow.
But they know you.
They know me? That's
I called
really...
them up, and they DJed at CUW in, I can't remember his name right now, but they DJed at CUW in 81, and they knew you. And they knew people we both knew in Marlboro, but it's like, I'm archiving all this stuff and releasing it, and
well,
I just re-released Automatic.
What happened back then is that CUW, ICN, and CHC, the Holy Cross station,
yep.
all of which were doing alternative rock, so-called alternative rock, and everybody knew each other.
Yep.
And everybody supported the sort of the whole scene. It was really interesting. It was a lot of fun back then. It was incredible.
Don't let the grown-ups know what we're doing.
Now, talk to me about Woodrose.
Yep. More lineup changes than gigs. It's doing this archiving thing. I've actually made contact with a lot of the earlier players, like Dave,
who
was in the band, and Leanna, who was the keyboard player. In fact, been getting. I've been archiving this stuff. What happened was Greg, who is still my landlord and favorite friend, who is like one apartment over, and we still do projects together here and there, he doesn't have 90% of it, and I have almost all of it. So I've been digitizing it,
yep.
video, audio, cassettes, DVDs. If you go to instantdogma.net, plug, you can, if you choose to buy any of that stuff, it's all sitting there. And
well, let's pause a moment. And if people want to get a copy of Mischief, which I strongly recommend,
yes,
what's the best way to do that?
InstantDogma.net.
Okay, say it slowly so everybody can
sync. InstantDogma.
One word. Okay.
.net.
Okay.
Like instant coffee or instant karma.
I would strongly recommend it.
Thank you. I'm glad
so you did. You wrote that you were nearly murdered at two different biker gigs.
Yes.
Why did you play a biker gig?
Our lead singer, our former lead singer, who I don't want to pick on him because nature of addiction and so forth. But he booked. Hey guys, I've got this great gig.
Oh God!
We go there and like bikers are beating each other up and they're all on speed and our ride took off. That's the first one.
Whoa!
And so we slept in a garage with people screaming for our blood, and then we had a dear friend named Eric Bartlett, aka Derek Ty, grab us. He was the one who came and rescued us, and we're playing to these bikers and slowly moving a piece of gear off the stage, which was actually somebody's roof, and bye folks, have fun.
The sound kept getting more and more minimal.
What's
that? The sound kept getting more and more minimal as you went through the set.
It was getting going into Philip Glass territory as we got to the very end. And then the second gig was at a place called The Ranch in Marlboro, where I came in from dinner and they were beating a guy up with a pool cue. And like they had KKK buttons and guns.
Whoa.
And they threatened our keyboard player with a knife. He took off. One of the bikers basically threatened, long story short, threatened to burn the place down with us in it if we didn't get out of there. And the owner of the club gave us $10 for playing and $40 to leave. I kept thinking, there's got to be a way to make this work for us.
You're listening to WISN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. My guests tonight are Steve Blake and Pamela Sheena Tiger of the band Punk Rock Treehouse. And they have a brand new release titled Mischief. By the way, great photograph on the cover.
Of us? Thank you.
The photograph, there's one person on the cover, so I don't know how it could be us.
I just found it somewhere. I still haven't found a source for it, but, you know.
I want to know that person.
Well, and it seemed absolutely appropriate. She seemed very devil may care.
Sheena, I want to talk to you for a bit.
Oh, sure.
Okay. Now, you lived in a variety of places. You were born in New Jersey, Dover. You lived in Syracuse. Yeah. You also lived on the Outer Banks of North Carolina, which I have birdwatched up and down.
Oh, wow.
But that's a wild place. What town did you live in?
All of them.
I mean, there's...
Well, no, seriously.
There's just scattered settlements up and down. If people have never been there, it's a pretty wild place.
Well, define wild. I mean, no.
I meant, with wildlife.
In nature, wild. Yeah. Yeah, well, it can be in places that is. It has apparently built up quite a bit since I lived there. But so I lived there from 1988 until 2002.
You were actually there when I was there bird watching.
You might have met each other.
We could have seen each other.
She used to wait tables.
Yeah, I probably. So, like, the main, you know, strip there is only about 20 miles long from, like, Duck to Manio. And you don't live there without living everywhere.
That's right.
You know.
Did it have any kind of a music scene?
Oh, yeah, it absolutely did. There was a bar / club / restaurant, and that's in quotes. Because they had a consistent C rating for food, but my goodness, the food was awesome. I mean, they ain't nothing like their fish tacos. They was called Mexicano, and, you know, we called it Mexies. It was Mex-Econo, economy Mexican, I guess, is how they put it. but they had, I saw a lot of bands as they were up and coming.
Oh, wow.
And, oh, yeah.
That's always cool. That's always great.
Right? Because that happened in Syracuse, too. But, Southern Culture on the Skids.
You were in a band. You wrote to me that you were in a band. And there were actually people who later became incredibly famous in that band. Was that the Distortion?
No, Distortion was my first band in Syracuse. You're talking about Second Coming and the band I played in at Mexicano once or twice.
That has like SpongeBob SquarePants talent?
Oh, no. Well, the gig on the Outer Banks, Dave Grohl was at. And I have on video, and that's a little embarrassing. But that's okay. Yeah, no, Tom Kenny in Syracuse.
That's huge.
Yeah, well, yeah, it is now.
Okay.
But at the time, you know, I mean, his family, Dave Grohl's family, I don't know if they still do, but they had a house on the Outer Banks. A lot of famous people have houses down there, and you don't really rub shoulders with these people.
Had he already done Nirvana or not?
I believe he was in Nirvana at the time.
Oh, wow.
Like,
did you look out and recognize him?
Well, I saw him before I went on stage, like, as I was walking.
That's really nerve-wracking.
We have video of this.
Yeah, I have video of this. It was, yeah. No,
well, there was a sigh there.
I'm sorry?
There was a sigh there, Sheena.
Well, yeah, it was embarrassing. That wasn't my best band, I think.
Okay.
But in Syracuse, yeah, everybody I hung out with at the time has become kind of famous since. So Tom Kenny, yeah, the voice of SpongeBob, he was in a band back then, and I mean, we were all just buds.
And Bobcat Goldthwait.
Wow.
Maura Kennedy.
From the Kennedys.
From the folk duo, the Kennedys.
Wow.
She wasn't Kennedy back then. I mean, obviously, she was 16 and not married, but, you know, I mean, yeah, all these people, I mean, they're my friends, you know? I don't have their autographs because they're my friends, you know?
Wow.
But
now,
Tom likes our new album, by the way.
Yeah,
oh, that's cool.
We sent him one, and he said he liked it.
Well, I want to talk about the album before we run out of time, because we could reminisce ad infinitum. Talk to me about how many originals are in this, on this album?
I think all but two, right?
All but two, yeah. I believe.
And
yeah.
What are the two covers? You got to talk about it.
Indiana Wants Me.
I so love that.
And it came, again, that came as a side challenge for mm-hmm. Victor Invante. He said, you know, record a guilty pleasure. Huh. And we were talking about guilty pleasures, and we both decided we loved Indiana Wants Me, because it's one of those songs when you're like 12 or 14, and do you remember Sky Pilot? And
yeah, I have recordings of Sky Pilot.
And the guy goes, yeah, this is the part where the guy's dying and the plane's going down. And Indiana Wants Me, yeah, this is the part where the guy's on the run from the cops. And you creeped out at 14 or 13 or 12.
I was like 11, I think.
Yeah, I was 11. And heard it like briefly, and then it disappeared completely. We were going, that's a great song.
Nobody ever plays that anymore. I mean, that's a great oldie, and nobody ever plays it. I never hear it.
Yeah.
No, I know.
And so we said, let's record it. And then I realized Frank Zappa stole the chords from Joe's Garage from it, and the ending, I've got children, you know, this is the police. And we went, okay, so we're going to include that in it. And so we morphed it into Joe's Garage.
I think it's excellent. Now, you also have a Zappa cover.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm totally unsurprised.
Trouble Every Day. The thing about Trouble Every Day is it's just as poignant now.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, BLM and all of that.
Sadly.
You know, sadly, yeah. You know, and it was a response. It was just, yeah, we're enraged now. You know, it's, you know, maybe if we could look at each other as human beings, you know, maybe we might get stuff together finally. But,
yeah.
You know.
Those two songs were so fun to do, though.
I mean, we weren't
guilty about Indiana Wants Me. He called the challenge Guilty Pleasures, and Steve said, what about Indiana Wants Me? And I went, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's not. I don't even consider that a guilty pleasure.
No.
Yeah, it's a great song, and it's on Motown.
I think my ABBA counts as more like a guilty pleasure.
No, I'm not guilty about that either. I unashamedly love ABBA.
I'm so glad you said that, Sheena, because I feel like I have to come out about that.
Yeah.
I am a total ABBA geek. I have, like, ABBA cover albums and stuff like that. Oh, my God.
I'm sure Victor's going to do ABBA next. That's probably going to be the next challenge.
Oh, I am so in for that challenge.
Did you write any new work for this album?
For the last one?
This one.
Because we're now working on the new album.
This one. We're talking about Punk Rock Treehouse Mischief.
Yes. A number of the things were basic rewrites. Some of the things were older tunes that just never found the light of day, and a couple of things were brand new.
Sheena, do you write any music? I mean, write any vocals?
Nope.
So the song exists, and you just insert your drum work?
Yeah.
Do you ever do, like, extensive drum solos?
No.
Okay. So you're not going to do a Toad?
No, this is punk rock. No.
It was actually a trick question, because that's why punk rock happened, was Cream recording Toad.
Yep,
that was exactly it.
Well, the thing about that is, according to Ginger Baker, the solo ran on so long so he didn't have to hear those loud amplifiers. And that seems fair.
So yeah, you're already working on a second album.
What's that?
You're already working on a second album.
Yep.
Talk to me about the challenges of getting music out and heard.
Airplay isn't that tough because there's a lot of independent radio, you know, and positive noise and so forth.
Yep.
But it's tough because there's just a glut of everything everywhere now. It's tough to even be, you know, to have any visibility at all with the media, because you would think it would be easier, but there's just so much signal to noise.
I find that everything is so fragmented and pigeonholed. So that, you know, it's the Elvis channel, and it's the Steely Dan channel, and it's the music of the 80s pop channel.
Yeah, how many black artists do you hear on classic hits?
Yeah, I know.
Apparently there's only two, Prince and Jimi Hendrix. Who knew? The only two black people in the world. It gets too compartmentalized, and it's kind of depressing. But, you know, you do what you do.
Will Punk Rock Treehouse play out?
Well, this, you know, if Saturday Night Live calls up and says,
No.
Well, and
that's not what Uncle Mark is asking.
We have only two of us.
But that's cool. I mean, there are bands like that.
Lovely Eggs.
That's right.
But I like bass. And if the plague ever subsides,
Oh yeah.
Because there is that, and
there is that, and a lot of people don't realize it is still going on.
Oh, it has not stopped. It's not done with us yet. Even if everybody wants to pretend that it's done, and you know, if a gig came up, if somebody said, "Hey, this would be fun," we could probably recruit a couple of people to sign on so that it would sound roughly like the record. It would sound somewhat different because it would be two other people.
So, I'm talking just a local gig. Would you thinking about that or? Sheena, how do you feel about playing out?
Plague.
No, I would love to.
Is that your answer to everything that you don't want to talk about?
Well,
plague. You know, that's a good answer, though. I mean, it's like
a good answer. I'm a live drummer, you know, and adjusting to doing studio work has been an adjustment for me because I'm not used to working that way. I'm used to playing out, and so I would love it. I would absolutely love it, except...
Plague. Yeah, I take that very seriously myself.
Well, there's
which is why you guys aren't down here in the studio.
What's that?
It's why you guys aren't down here in the studio. We are still under COVID restrictions right
now.
Yep, good.
Yeah, I know.
I still wear a mask when I go on the radio, so there you go.
I have my mask right here.
Yeah.
So, did you do a lot of the recording during the plague years?
Right in the middle of it, essentially. Yeah.
That was the inspiration for a lot of people, I think, for a lot of their artwork. We're completely out of time, which is like amazing because the thing blew by really fast.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, my guests tonight have been Steve Blake and Pamela Sheena Tiger of the band Punk Rock Treehouse. And they have this great new release called Mischief, which they can get, Steve or Pamela, where?
Instant Dogma, one word. Like Instant Karma, but Instant Dogma.
Okay.
.net.
Thanks so much for both of you. Both of you for producing this record, and then both of you for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. Good night.